In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I was a child, I had this deep sense about the world that everything was secure. The world around me hadn't changed much in my short tenure as a human being, and I was safe. As I kept growing older, I found out in hard ways, for at least for a kid who, for everything that felt so safe, that there are very few physical things that endure. Business owners change hands or businesses close. People grow older, and with it, their stuff. Buildings age. And sometimes things get destroyed, either by people or by nature. I remember the first time I realized that not even the church building where I grew up was a completely permanent thing when a water leak destroyed the narthex, the back entrance to the building. The ceiling had caved in, and with it caved my expectations that I could find ultimate security in a physical place. It reminds me of Robert Frost, who wrote, "Nothing gold can stay." Jesus tells this truth in a dramatic way in the gospel today. Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple. Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. The second temple was a majestic sight. It had stood for 585 years. As the secure place for God's very self, the Holy of Holies. And as Jesus foretold, the earthquakes came, the wars, the insurrection, and not one stone was left upon another. But by your endurance, Jesus says, you will gain your souls. Jesus was preaching something radical for the time, and perhaps radical in our time as we worship together amid these majestic stones that have stood for 150 years. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach about how these stones will be thrown down one upon another today. I hope not in my tenure at least. Because it's in these holy spaces, it's in that temple that stood for half a millennium. It's in these places that we learn the mystery of God. But the greatest mystery of God that we learn in spaces like this is that the temple is actually us. We are the temple. Paul wrote it to the early church. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So around the same time the roof caved in on my childhood church, I went to children's chapel with my church friends where I grew up, and it was in a separate place where the roof hadn't yet caved in. And we learned this song. I wonder if any of you have heard this. It's been in my head since I learned it 30 years ago or more. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Now there are hand motions. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. That song has served me very well over the years. It was revelatory to me as the children's chapel minister revealed that it wasn't the roof over our heads that was the church, that it was us. We were the church. I sang it for my 5-year-old this week, and she said, "Wait a second. The churches are the buildings that you and Dad serve in. Wait a second. I am the church? And it hit her like it hit me when I was a little girl. I am the church. And she wants to hear it sung over and over again. Not one stone will remain, but by your endurance, you will gain your souls. Those are some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his followers before his trial and execution. Words like that are terrifying because Jesus makes no promises that he or his Father will shield us from the reality that terrifying things are still happening. And they happen all around us. So what Jesus is calling us to today, I believe, is perfect faith. The potential to continue to trust God, even in the midst of the falling apart and the destruction of temporary things. Jesus is calling us to have courage. As Brother David Stindl-Ross writes in the book we actually read for today's Rector's Book Club, faith is trust and courage. Its opposite is fear, or rather fearfulness, unhealthy fear. What do you think is the most often repeated commandment in the Bible? Think twice. It is this: fear not. Be not afraid. If it is the courage of faith that makes us perfect, Stindl-Ross writes, we must most urgently get rid of fear. Faith courageously sets toward the promised land, but fear holds on to anything it can get a hold of. And so it weighs us down, slows us down. Faith is courage to let go. Fear clings. There's a temptation to give in to fear. I've noticed in circles of people with whom I'm friends, on the news, on Facebook, my own self in the middle of the night when I wake up, that temptation to give in to fear is prevalent and it's strong. Today's gospel lesson and the second letter to the Thessalonians, which we heard read today, give us a very clear response. Don't be afraid. Be the church. Work together for the greater good. And ignore the fearmongers and the naysayers. Jesus says it this way in Luke's gospel. Don't be fooled by those who will come and claim to be me. They will say, I am Christ, and now is the time. But don't follow them. When you hear about wars and riots, don't be afraid. These things will have to happen first. But that isn't the end. Paul says it this way. Stay away from faithless people who sit around idly and fearfully. They give us two ways to approach faith, Jesus and Paul today. Fearfully or courageously. Courageous people carry the promise that God dwells within the temple of their soul. Fearful people only fret about temporary temples crumbling around them. We found out about a year ago that we at Calvary have the strong spiritual gift of faith collectively. And today's good news is that miraculous things can happen when we work together in faith. It reminds me of this story I love reading about. Back in the 1800s out west, and imagining what it was like before it got populated, and still in Death Valley, there's not a lot of people living out there, but in Death Valley, there's a mineral called borax, which is an ore used to make soap. And my dad can tell you about the 50s TV show Death Valley Days, sponsored by the 20 Mule Team Borax. Borax is naturally found on the floor of the valley in chunks called cotton balls. And in the 1880s, someone invented a way to extract the grit and the dirt from the cotton balls to produce borax soap. The problem was the nearest train stop was 165 miles away in the hot desert. So they devised this complicated mule team process to pull up the stuff out of Death Valley. They had 20 mules pulling three wagons. The first two wagons were specially built for the process and weighed 7,800 pounds each. And each wagon held 10 tons of borax ore. And in the back of them was a water tank that held 500 gallons of water because it was Death Valley, after all. And when all was linked up together, the entire train weighed 36.5 tons. To pull all of this, they had to get a lot of mules. 20, in fact. The first two were the leaders. They were chosen for their special training and intelligence. The next 10 mules were the swing team. They were the major muscle in the middle. They responded to pull, stop, and other simple commands. And behind them were pairs called pointers, sixes, and eights. And in the back of them were the last and the biggest mules. In fact, often were substituted with draft horses called wheelers. And in all the years that this happened, they never lost a single mule or a single load. The reason was, to paraphrase the Apostle Paul, they all pulled their own load. A few years ago, after your former rector left, and after his departure, there was this important and natural process for you all to figure out and name together how you are the church. You came together and you named your identity as people of Christ. You identified the ways you worship and you serve and you learn and rejoice in meaningful ways. And that led us to being here in this time and place, learning how God will continue to move and make a difference through us in this time and place. Many of you know what it's like to be on a team, like the 20 team mules in the church. What it's like to honor the unique gifts each of us gathered as a people of Christ have to offer. The leaders with the wheelers and the sixes and the eights and the swing team, all working together to pull the load. When it comes together, it's exciting. And amazingly, seemingly impossible things start to happen, even in the midst of hypothetical valleys of death. And we find out that even for the people who are teaching Sunday school and making the food and putting on the coffee, they're just as vital as the ones who are up front leading the way. That's how not one of us is lost. Now, Paul says that there are some of our siblings in Christ whose bodies are busy complaining, seeing only the problems with the church and the world. And the people whose bodies are busy complaining among us, yes, are still our siblings in Christ. Paul calls even the busybodies and the naysayers believers. But what he does say is that the rest of the church should not waste too much of their breath on people like this. Don't sit around the equivalent of the Thessalonian parking lot or water cooler and listen to them. The important thing is for the people in the church to pull their own weight, not to argue or duke it out with people who don't. Paul closes by saying, Brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing what is right. We can all differ a bit about what that means in practice, but we can agree that it's good advice. Don't give up. Don't tire of trying to walk in Jesus' footsteps and make the world a more humane and loving place. As Margaret Barker writes, the heavenly city had no temple, presumably because the whole city was the temple, or rather, the whole city was the Holy of Holies. That's good news for us today at Calvary Church. We who are God's temple, we who have God's Spirit dwelling in us. And together we cry, holy, 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 and glorify God by bringing God's presence into the world together. Because I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Amen.